Invite you this morning to open your Bibles to the book of John chapter 10. We'll look specifically at verse 10. And most of you are aware of how I can preach. And so one verse is no challenge. Don't think, oh, I would get out of here early today. I wouldn't count on it. We've been looking at this month by design because it is the month that a lot of people have in their yards all kind of decorations, celebrating death, things that are scary and all those kinds of things. So this month I've been preaching on death, and it seems like that would just be a very depressing kind of thing to talk about until you see it from God's perspective. If it's only from man's perspective, there's not a lot of encouraging. But when we look at what the Word has to say about death to us. In Luke chapter 16, Jesus told the story of the rich man and Lazarus. Remember, Lazarus went to Abraham's bosom. He was supremely blessed by God to have comfort given to him. And all who die in faith in Christ, they have a life of comfort that awaits them. And you don't, if you're in Christ, you do not need to worry about the fires of hell. You do not need to worry about separation from God. If you are in Christ, you can never be separated from God. In Genesis chapter 3, last week we saw that death passed upon everybody. We may not have a lot of things in common, but one thing we all got in common, we're sons and daughters of Adam, and because of that, unless Jesus comes back first, we're all going to die. Everybody before us has, with the exception of two, and everybody after us until Jesus comes back will. And so it is a fact of life, but we also looked at last Sunday morning that for those that are in Christ, we were in Adam when he sinned. But now, for those who are in faith, we are in Christ. I even got feedback from somebody that said they're getting a crick in their neck. If you're in Christ, according to Paul in Ephesians, you're seated at the right hand of the Father. And according to what Jesus taught us on Wednesday nights, that if you want to ask something, all you got to do is ask the Father. So if you're at His right hand in Christ, the Father's just right over your left shoulder. Talk to Him. And I mean that in all sincerity. He is that close. He's not out there. He's right here if you're in Christ. Well, it's true. Okay, I'm going to mush forward. In this month of Halloween celebration, though, we must remember what God's Word tells us about death, and we're going to see that in this chapter. Now, we're going to look specifically at verse 10, but two verses are extremely important as we look at this passage. Chapter 10, verse 1 is very important, and Jesus lays this out. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that enters not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. That word thief there is where we get the word kleptomaniacs from. Kleptos, steal. And that word for thief right there is a klepto. And that word for robber there is where we get the word bandit. Think of stagecoach robberies. Bandits got the bands around their face. They're there not for good. So Jesus entertains and brings into this setting the issue of the thief. And then in verse 9, Jesus says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, shall go in and out, and find pasture. Jesus here introduces with one of his great I am statements, he is the door to where the sheep dwell in safety. There's no other door. There's no other path. To enter into the sheepfold, you must go through the door. Now, a thief may try to climb over and steal. We're going to talk about that. But the only honest way, the only legitimate way into the sheepfold is to pass through Christ. And again, if you're in Christ, death may claim your body, but death has no claim on your soul. And some of us are really happy because the body I got, I really don't want for eternity, okay? I want a new body. There's a song. I'll have a new body, praise the Lord. On that resurrection morning when all the dead in Christ shall rise. The ladies go, I'll have a new body. The men go, praise the Lord, I'll have a new life eternal. Some of y'all remember, you remember what I'm talking about? You listen to little quartet groups? That's a great little song. I get a new body. It'll join with my soul and I will be raised up ever to live with Christ if you go through the door. When we get down to verse 10, though, and this is where we're going to camp. I do have a couple extra verses, but this is where we're going to camp. Jesus tells us this about the thief. Now, again, I'm going to use that word for thief there. The kleptase, and this is where we get the idea of a kleptomaniac. He doesn't come but for to do three things. Notice, to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He comes for specifically three things. And what is most important for you to know is he doesn't enter through the door. He doesn't enter through Jesus. And anybody who's trying to get into the sheepfold who's not coming through Jesus is up to no good. This is basic for everything else I'm going to say. Anybody who doesn't come to you through Jesus is up to no good. I'm not trying to get you to be paranoid, but you do need to be paranoid. If somebody's not coming to you with the love of Christ and the truth of Christ, you need to be questioning, what are they after? So maybe we do need to be paranoid, Wayne. What are they up for? You know, knock at your door. Only one group still goes around and knocks at your door. You ask, who's there? What do you want? What are you here for? You don't open the door until you see who's there, right? Maybe your Ring camera goes off and you talk to them through there, but because you want to know what they're there for. Anybody who doesn't come through the door. If I wake up in the middle of the night and somebody's calling in my window, they ain't there to bring me presents. Yeah, I don't. We're breaking in. We're going to give you the keys to a brand new car. Said no thief ever. They're up to no good when they don't come in through the door. So it's important for you to know what this thief is about. He doesn't enter through the door. He does not enter through Jesus. Thus, he is up to no good. And about these three things, stealing, killing, and destroy, the first thing is important. He's a taker, not a giver. He's a taker, not a giver. Talk about relationships just really quickly. There are a lot of relationships. You talk to the spouses, one of them will say in silent solitude, man, I'm married to a taker. They don't ever give anything. That's never good. As Christians, we're inspired to give. We're supposed to give. We're supposed to give love. That's why you kind of go to the nursing home. What do you have to give them? For an hour, we gave them something different than what they have for the rest of their life. Give something that desires to give. Joy for a moment, Christ in us. We enjoy singing. We gave them the joy of songs for just a little bit. Christianity is about giving. Christ is about giving. The thief doesn't come to do anything but to take. He is not a giver. Secondly, notice that word he kills there. This is very important. Typically, you would expect me, and I'm going to use the word murder later, but it's not the typical word that we would use for murder. Now notice Jesus says inside the sheepfold is sheep. The word here for kill is slaughter, as in animals. So the thief wants to climb in, he wants to come in, and he wants to destroy Jesus' sheep. He wants to make merchandise of them, if you will, because you take sheep to the slaughter, you get money for the wool and you get money for the meat, right? He's up to no good. Sometimes they kill just for the sake of killing, but that's what this thief is all about. He is there to make merchandise. He is there to slaughter the sheep of God. It does include the idea of killing and murder there because they don't belong to him. He's stealing from Jesus, and so he's taking what doesn't belong to him. So he is going to murder them. And if you remember in John chapter 8, verse 44, you remember this, right? Jesus is talking to the religious leaders now. This is important. This isn't the tax collector on the street. This isn't the politician walking down the road. Jesus is talking to the religious leaders, and he says, you're of your father the devil, and his lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning. In other words, Satan was right there alongside of Cain when Abel was murdered. That was the murder from the beginning. He abode not in truth because there's no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he's a liar and the father of it. That's what you're dealing with in the thief there. Not light, not goodness, not truth. You're dealing in lies. You're dealing in darkness. And the last thing in verse 10, it says that this thief wants to do is seek utter destruction. just for the sake of destroying stuff. It belongs to somebody else. You can't have it. And if I can't have it, I'm going to take it from you and make it where you can't. I still bear the scar a long time ago, a little kid. My cousins had a swing that I couldn't swing on. So I went in my room and got my pocket knife. If I couldn't swing, they weren't going to have a swing. Telling you I still got a scar on my finger, I'll let you know how the rest of the story goes. I was trying to cut that rope. I cut my finger, and I can still remember the throb to this day. Man, my heart must have been just like pumping overtime. I got that reminder. You know, I'm forgiven from that by the Lord, right? I got a scar that reminds me every time I tried to take something from somebody because it wasn't mine, it was theirs. But if I couldn't have what they had, I wanted it for my own. If I can't have it, they can't have it either. Let's get rid of it. That's not biblical thinking. That's not Jesus thinking. Anybody else got any scars? Just curious. I won't look. The thief loves death. The thief seeks death. The thief promotes death. So tell me if what I describe here doesn't sound a little all too familiar. There are those that would like to convince you and convince society that babies in the womb aren't babies. They would even like to go so far as to make money off of murdering unborn babies. And in the process, let's destroy other races and the other gender while we do it. Let's look at it from this perspective. Let us demoralize having a family. Oh, you shouldn't seek to get married. You shouldn't seek to have kids. You need to wait till you're like 30 and 40. And what a lot of women are finding out now, if you wait till 30 and 40, sometimes that's too late. So they're trying to demoralize the family. You know, I can't believe a woman would marry a man and take his name. Well, that's kind of biblical. Well, it is. I'm going to prove it to you, but it is. And it has nothing to do with who's better than the other. I grew up listening to commercials. Anything you can do, I can do better. I can do anything better than you. That was a woman singing it against men. Or did you grow up in the version, I can bring home the bacon fried up in a pan and... Yeah. We grew up in a society. I grew up in a society to where they tried to bring this kind of equality into the home and erase any concept of identity from it. I'm a man. And as a man, I've got certain biblical responsibilities to my home. And a woman, which I am not and cannot be, has responsibilities unto God for her home. Now, sometimes bad things happen. A husband may die, a wife may die, and the other does the best they can. But ideally, a man and a woman come together to make a family. They bring children up, and ideally in the Lord, that is His desire. Remember what He told Adam and Eve? Go forth and make babies. Well, He kind of said, be fruitful and multiply. That's what I was looking for, the more biblical sense of it. But basically, make babies and have lots of them. You know, make other families. Well, if we can demonize babies in the womb, and if we can demonize other races in the process, and we can actually kill off a couple extra people in the process, we can accomplish demoralizing having a family. We can make money. We can merchandise. We can lead these sheep to slaughter, if you will. And then ultimately, we can destroy the family. Now, why in the world would someone want to destroy the family? What would be the purpose? What could you gain by attacking and destroying the family? The husband and wife and the family relationship. What's the point? Because the husband, wife, and the family are a picture of Christ and the church. I'm going to show you, but I want you to let that sink in before I show you. Well, you got to prove it first, Brother Luke. Oh. If you don't believe me, why are you here listening to me? The picture in the Bible that I'm about to present to you is there's a head, there's a bride, and the blessings that come from it. Look with me in the book of Ephesians. I wrote it down here, but it's too many verses. Ephesians chapter 5, and we don't have a lot of places to turn to, so go with me there. I hear pages and I'll wait. 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, then you'll find Ephesians chapter 5. If you see Philippians or Colossians, you need to go to your left. If you're in Revelation, you really need to go to the left. If you're in Genesis chapter 3, you're in a Genesis 2 and 3, you're in a good place, but not close enough. Genesis chapter 5, beginning with verse 22. And some of this stuff we don't like to hear. I get it. That's because of what we were raised under. Beginning of verse 22, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as unto the Lord. And I'm going to remind y'all every time, you want to make your husband firecracker mad? Ladies, treat another man better than you treat your husband. You want to make him firecracker mad? You come tell me, oh, he's always mad at me. And I find that out, I'm going to say, what'd you expect? I don't mind saying, duh. And I might even be crass enough to say, well, what'd you expect, stupid? Well, not biblically. Wives, submit to your own husbands. Men, you're not freed from this, as unto the Lord. The husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. Who's our head of the church? Okay, Christ is the answer. Okay, that's the answer. Who's the head of the church? Christ. And he is the Savior of the body. So the head is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be unto their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. What did he do? He died for her. If your wife wants your attention on Sunday afternoons and you're wanting to watch the football game, you're supposed to die to yourself, men. Ladies, you can pay me later. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. You're supposed to die to yourself. You think the cross was pleasant for Jesus? You think being beat, whipped, spit on was pleasant for Jesus? Husbands, you're supposed to die to yourself as Christ died for the church and gave himself for it that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church. This is why God did it through Christ. He wanted a glorious church, a glorious bride, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loves his wife loves himself, because the two become one in Christ. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto the wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Now all of that funnels down into verse 32, and here's why the thief attacks the family. You ready? This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Every marriage where the husband's loving his wife as Christ loved the church, and every marriage where the wife is submitting to her husband as under the Lord, reminds the enemy, there's a God, he's got a son, and he's making himself a bride, and he don't like that. The bride of Christ is the enemy of the thief, and they don't like that. They want death. The enemy wants destruction. The enemy wants complete demoralization. It has gotten so bad in our society. I can't even believe it came to this. One man was trying to convince this school board that having girls undress in front of men, boys, in the boys' locker was a bad thing. So while he's speaking, he had some women set up. They begin to change clothes right in front of the school board, and the school board pitches a fit. And he says, my point is this, if it offends you, why are we exposing our young boys to this? And the men ought to be saying, you're right. We're supposed to be speaking up for the younger men. Now, here's the problem, ladies. A young little man on steroid hormones, you know, his body's entering that age where testosterone is going like absolutely crazy. The idea of girls changing in the guy's locker room, this is awesome. Am I too honest? Am I right? That's exactly what a young boy would like. We're supposed to be looking out for them because they're not able to tame them hormones. And you older guys, you know this. You know this. We shouldn't be hanging temptation in front of our children, boys or girls. But secondly, why would I want a boy playing on a girl's team? Most guys, and this just goes with nature. Most guys can crush a female opponent. Now, there are a few exceptions. You can pull up an exception here and there, but they're going to be rare and they're not going to be normal. Why is it that a boys' high school soccer team can beat the Olympic women's team? Because God has made us men. Women aren't to be crushed by their men. They're supposed to be loved by the men. I'm going to keep digging. I'm going to get y'all yet. There is a party that promotes women murdering their unborn babies. There is a party that promotes perversion of marriage. There is a party whose members celebrate the death of those who speak good, right, and truth. What slasher movie has anything on this party of death and destruction? You were waiting to see how I'd connect it to Halloween, huh? Slasher movies. What are we celebrating? Watching people kill people. And by and large, typically, it's a deranged man killing everybody else. And the women don't have a chance. Oh, they run and they scream. No, because if you got a psycho man trying to kill women, there's not a competition. That's why, guys, it's your responsibility to defend your family. Responsibility. From all enemies, domestic and foreign, according to the Word. But let me remind you, their other party, the other option, oh no, they simply nod their head to unbiblical marriage. They're not going to come out against it. Get your seatbelt on. They're going to call women who murder their babies victims. And let me state unequivocally, there's only one victim in that abortion room, and it's not the woman. It's the baby that's killed. Yep. Brother Luke, what about the women that are forced to by their husbands on their rare... Let me put it this way. If a man brings one of y'all to me, we need to kill her unborn baby, you're going to be lucky, if you can walk out of my office. You are. One of us ain't going to walk by the time we're done. I just feel that's strongly about it. Why don't women have a concept where they feel safe around men? And we should make it such that the ones that are going to harm them will not even think about doing it in front of a real man. No. The one that dies in the abortion room is the victim. Women are on TikTok. Women are on all over. They're on X. They're celebrating that they killed their baby. I've had 10 abortions. I've had 8 abortions. And I'll have another one. There's some guy now. He's probably doing it for clicks. I'm going to have a sex change. I'm going to get a womb put in. I'm going to have a baby and I'm going to kill it just so I can identify with women. What kind of hellish thinking is that? Let me remind you about this other party. They'll speak about the truth, but they won't do a doggone thing about it. Tell me I'm wrong. They won't do a doggone thing about it. And all the while, what happens to the church? The church is demoralized, the church is merchandised, and the church is scandalized. And I'll tell you why. It's because the church is bought into the message of the thief. Filter these things through Christ. You think Jesus is going to sit there and hold a woman's hand while she kills her unborn baby? You think Jesus is going to sit there in a room idly by while you steal from him? Filter it through the door. Do we filter our lives through Jesus anymore? Let me get a little more direct. Would Jesus play a video game celebrating theft? My goodness, one of the main ones, I don't know if it still is, Grand Theft Auto. You get to be a criminal and go into different towns and steal stuff from people. It's a fun game, Brother Luke. Do you realize you just let the thief in your door? It's just a video game. Nobody's been hurt. Your brain been hurt. Your brain's been hurt. Long time ago when Americans and other people were being captured by some bad people in the Middle East, they were videotaping and sending out people getting their heads cut off. Number one, let me say this, you probably should never watch that. I did. And I wish somebody had held my hand and said, don't do it. You're going to regret it. You'll never get that out of your mind. You'll never get it out. We don't understand the damage that happens to our minds and to our homes and to our families when we don't filter the thief out at the door. So he wants to anesthetize us to this stuff. It becomes so prominent, it becomes so normalized that it no longer even causes us to react in shock, in horror. You think Jesus would go to a wedding and celebrate two men trying to make a marriage? Can't. Ephesians says it's between a man and a woman. Jesus says God created them male and female. You only got two genders. That's it. Male and female become a marriage. Have we let the thief in the door? Have we neglected Jesus, our door? Have we neglected to pass things through him before we bring them into our lives? People have Ring cameras. I got cameras on my front door. Basically, my cameras are there just to capture whatever happens after the fact. They ain't going to stop nobody from doing nothing. But I got cameras at my door. But they're no sentry. They're not going to stop somebody from coming in if they want to. Jesus is our ultimate sentry. He is the door. And if Jesus doesn't approve, how can we? If Jesus doesn't approve, how can we? There are people out of, you're reading your book, there are people out there that are after Jesus' sheep. There are people out there that are after your sons and daughters and your granddaughters, and they want to pervert their minds. They want to destroy their minds. They want to remove any vestige of goodness. And while we're on this subject, let me just give you a really quick civics lesson. We do not live in a democracy. We live in a constitutional republic. I actually stayed awake in that class. There's a reason why they don't want you to say the pledge anymore, because the pledge underscores that. And to the republic for which it stands. Because in democracy, the people rule. Might makes right. Which means then if we all agree that wrong is good, we can make anything happen in our country. If we just get enough votes, anything can be wrong or anything can be right. We can even legalize theft. We've already done it. Your government comes into your paycheck once a month or once every 2 weeks and takes from you all the time. Now, part of that's our fault. We decided to trade in Caesar's money, didn't we? Jesus said, look on your coin. Who does it say? It said property of... I thought, what would happen if true Christians began to do trading and bartering again? I don't know how that would work out, but we wouldn't have to, how would we pay taxes? We ain't got money. We got sheep, and I promise you, our government don't want sheep. We'd be driving down the cost of everything. I'm getting a little far afield here, but what I'm getting at is the thief comes in to change people's minds by repeating something often enough, and that's what happens when we let these boneheaded ideas, that's not a baby in the womb, that's just a clump of cells. Wrong. I saw one the other day, they had a picture of the baby in the womb, and it had its head in its hand like this. Not long after it was born, that little rascal was doing the same thing. It's just going to be part of his personality. They can suck their thumb. They can wiggle their feet. And mamas know that. You felt the little booger moving around, didn't you? And somebody wants to convince us, that's not a baby. Jesus in his word says, that's a treasure. That's a treasure from the Lord. Children are not negatives. They're positives. The thief is after Jesus' sheep. And listen, the thief wants to utterly destroy what belongs to Jesus. If you belong to Jesus, he wants to destroy you. He wants to demoralize you. Why would a Christian take part in anything that demeans or destroys Jesus' sheep? Are y'all tired of the bad? I'm kind of tired of this. That's the first half of the verse. The thief comes to do what? Steal, kill, and destroy. Now see, that's the only thing the world's got to tell you about. But the gospel's got way more to this story than what the world's going to recognize. Jesus says, I am come that the sheep, that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. Notice Jesus has come for his sheep. The thief comes to take from the sheep. The thief comes to steal the sheep, to kill the sheep, to destroy the sheep. Jesus says, I've come for you. You ever wish you had somebody on your side? Jesus said, I've come for you. And if you got Jesus on your side, Psalm 23, even though I got to walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. He's right there with me. I'm following the good shepherd. Jesus is for the people. And I think it'd be safe, it's low-hanging fruit, but do we really believe politicians are for the people anymore? They go in with $700,000 to their name. 4 years later, they got $22 million. They don't make that much. How's that happen? Because they're not for you. They're not for me. They're for themselves. But Jesus is for you. Jesus is on your side, if I can say it that way. He has come that you might have life. And that's really important in the book of John because this stands out twice in John chapter 1. Wednesday night crowd, I gave it to you Wednesday night. We're going to rehearse it again. You need this ingrained in your minds. John chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. Evolution just took a flying leap out the window, by the way. Nothing just happened. Jesus made everything, and here's why. Because in verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Jesus can give life because Jesus is life. So when Jesus is on your side, you've got more opportunity for true life than anything the thief could promise, which he will not keep. The thief has come to steal, kill, destroy. Jesus has come so that you might have life. And then in John chapter 11, we use it a lot at funerals. It shouldn't be just a funeral concept. This is one that should undergird every true believer. When Jesus was talking to Martha after Lazarus' death, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Who's the resurrection? Jesus. Who is the life? Who is the door? You want life, you hide behind the door, but you don't let the thief in. Am I in the right place? Why would you let the thief in then? He's against you. Jesus is for you, the thief is against you. Why would you even give him a nudge? Look, I'm preaching to myself. Ugh. What would happen if everybody got well tomorrow? Ted would be out of a job. The pharmacies would close down. Pharmaceutical companies would close down. Researchers would close down. They would. They'd all be twiddling their thumbs. We don't need to make any more stuff. Everybody's well. Always catches me off guard when that little voice comes from up there. He's paying attention now. By the way, just in case you don't know, if you're staying home watching on TV, he's there. So if you have questions about something going on, please put it in the comments, because if you don't see what you want to see, or if you're not hearing things well, Zach's supposed to try to make it work right. But that's Zach that's up there. He's watching over the internet feed at the moment. But can you imagine what it would be like if people stopped hating people tomorrow? What would the military do? What would happen? We'd begin to beat our swords into plowshares. Instead of killing, we'd be growing. Right? Oh, y'all aren't convinced of that. If you know what you believe, don't be afraid to voice it. If you disagree with me, you better have a reason why you disagree with me, but don't be afraid to voice it. We're not asking you to check your brain out when you walk in these doors. We're asking you to let the word of the God transform your thinking. But it's not right because I say it. It's either right because it's in the word, or it's not right. Yeah, right. Amen. Jesus has come that you might have life. He is the resurrection and the life. Why would I put a zombie in my yard then? Oh, and now he's about to preach against Halloween. Look, death is your enemy. Death is your enemy. Don't celebrate it. Vampires are your enemy. It's the thief. A vampire doesn't come to deliver you a fantastic vacation, a new vehicle, and a boat to go with it. He's come there to suck your blood and kill you. I know they don't exist, but yeah. Zombies are there to eat your brains. They're not there to give you a new one. And heck, even Igor, he's going around stealing stuff that don't belong to him. We're supposed to be about life. Why? Because Christ is life. If there's any way we can intervene in a situation and give life, that's what we should be for life. We should be for peace. Matthew chapter 5, blessed are the peacemakers. You got to give our president kudos for this. He doesn't like people dying in war. It keeps saying that. There's a lot of people dying. Yeah, he don't use flowery language. He used language I wouldn't use, but he doesn't use flowery language. But he genuinely doesn't want people dying. Why should we? Celebrating murderers, making death something that seems fantastical to do. I guess I'm rowing in the wrong ocean. Jesus has come that we might have life, and I'm encouraging you, stay in the sheepfold. But not just life. He says, I've come that you might have it what? More abundantly. That word more abundantly there means superabundant, and we're talking there about the quantity. You ever go somewhere and you ask for like a large and you still don't get enough? Yeah, you order a large drink and they put more ice in there. You still don't get any more of your drink you wanted. You just get more ice. I didn't want ice. I wanted the drink. You wanted quality. Excuse me, quantity. Jesus can do that. The thief doesn't come to give you quantity. He came to take what you've got. Jesus is going to give you more than what the thief will give you. But secondly, he's going to give you quality. peace. See, when you run around in gangs, you got to worry about what gang's after you, right? If you're in the bad guys, you got to worry when the law's around the corner or when the bounty hunter's going to sneak up on you. In Christ, you don't have to worry about that because you have quality life. And following Christ, you can have peace with your life. No fear, no regret, no worries. When we stay behind the true door, life is just so much better than what the world has to promise. If I had bought into the lies I saw on TV, I'd have been a Marlboro man by now. I wouldn't have a 4 foot, 10 and a half little brunette little thing. I'd have 15 blonde women trying to get my name and attention by now. Well, when I grew up, it was the Marlboro man. You get to ride horses and you get lots of women because you smoke. Now, you don't get women, you get cancer. The thief comes not but to do what? To kill. Jesus has come to give you superior quality of life. And there is something to be said. If you can't say this, let me tell you, there is something to be said to be able to lay your pillow on, your head on your pillow, and you're not afraid of anything. You're not afraid of the tax man. You're not afraid of the boogeyman. You're not afraid of it. Yeah, I mean, you just lay your head down. When you're able to just like, by the way, God's going to be awake, so let him take care of everything. You just go to sleep, okay? Jesus, the door, he gives and sustains life. The thief, he takes, he kills, and destroys. And remember, if you embrace the thief, it's no wonder you feel defeated. Feeling defeated in your life? I think you may have let something in the door that you shouldn't have. You feel demoralized. Listen, that's what happens when you steal from people. That's why socialism and communism don't work. If I got to do all the work so that they get all the benefit, well, what good is there in that? I don't go shopping to fill up your refrigerator. Now, I might if you run into a bad time. That's not what I'm saying. But generally, purposefully speaking, I go shopping to put stuff in my refrigerator. And if I go buy from my refrigerator and you come along and take from my refrigerator, I ain't putting nothing in my refrigerator anymore. Come try to take what ain't there. You can't. It demoralizes people. And when theft isn't punished, you end up with a demoralized people. That's what's happening in our society. We have demoralized people, demoralized workers, demoralized women, demoralized wives. That's what the thief does. And then he destroys. He burns, he loots, he takes, leaves nothing in his path. Jesus, however, he's the door and he is the narrow way. And let me remind you again, if it cannot, does not enter or pass through Jesus, it's bad for you. If it comes from Jesus, he's come to bless you. He's come to give you life more abundantly. Why would I memorize Scripture? Because Jesus is going to give me life through it. That's why I would. He's going to talk to me through His Word. And the Word of God doesn't celebrate death, witches, zombies, or murderers. Well, it doesn't. And I'm not scared of them. They're scared. Why would I be scared of them? My Savior's already beat death. If the worst that can happen to me is I die and my Savior's beat death, I'm cool. After you kill me, what you going to do to me? We're going to drag your body through the street. We're going to draw and quarter you. Oh, you can do that to my body, but you ain't getting me. I'm going to be like Lazarus in Abraham's bosom. I'm going to be safe with Jesus. I'm going to be comforted. And what's waiting for you when you get here ain't going to be the pleasure I get from being in Christ. Amen. I'm going to be all right. I don't have to worry about those kinds of things. Why would I celebrate them? The way to life is this. You enter through Jesus. We saw that in the first two Sundays of this month. We'll see it again this month. You enter through the door. If you don't enter through the door, you're a thief. You enter through the door. And spiritually, once you enter the door, you're in Christ. And in Ephesians chapter 2, if I'm in Christ, all the heavenly blessings are mine. I'm, what the cliche, I'm too blessed to be depressed. I just wish we always believe that. Well, we are blessed. And if you start counting your blessings, you'll find out you really don't have a reason to be depressed because you got so much to be blessed about. But sometimes we get things a little skewed backwards, and then we just need to be reminded that in Christ, all the heavenly blessings are mine. I'm blessed. What it means to be in Christ, if I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in my heart that God is raising from the dead, the resurrection is vital to our salvation. If I believe and confess with my mouth, believe in my heart that God is raising from the dead, I shall be saved, for with my heart man believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. But let's go one further, and I didn't put it on the overhead. I want you to go to 1 John chapter 3. It's going to be to your right. Almost a revelation. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 14. I say, Brother Luke, you tricked us. Anytime we see Romans 10, we can close our Bibles. Not today, you can't. 1 John chapter 3, verse 14. Are you ready for this now? 1 John chapter 3, verse 14. So some of you are probably wishing right under your breath right now, I could say, hey Siri, 1 John chapter 3, verse 14. It would come up a little quicker, huh? One of these days I'm just going to blurt it out and see how many phones are listening. 1 John chapter 3, verse 14. We know that we, John's talking about believers, that we have passed from death into life because we love the brethren. He that loves not his brother abides in death. We should not be celebrating death. Because death is the opposite here of loving. Death is hatred. We're Christians. Love is supposed to be our primary quality. People notice, I love you enough to tell you, you go down that path and it's going to bite you bad. I love you enough to warn you that that person's a snake and they're going to lead you astray. Kind of like your parents, I love you so much, I got to spank you. I'll take your word for it, right? We didn't want to hear that, but their whole goal was to teach us discipline so that down the road, we don't get disciplined in worse ways. You don't take your brother's stuff because you walk into somebody else's house when you're 18. You may not walk out. You may be carried out. Discipline prepares you for the future. But notice this. You have passed from death into life. The fruit, this is how one of the ways I know that I'm saved is because God has done a work in my heart, and rather than hating my brother, I can't help it. I love him. Sometimes in Luke's little world, I think of it this way. Lord, I want to be so disgusted with him right now and kick him in the knee, but I love him and feel sorry for him instead. If you can spew vitriol and hate, you're happy somebody was murdered. You get joy out of seeing people's lives lost because they spoke the truth. Christ ain't in that. That's the thief. The thief has come to steal, to kill, and destroy. Thief is not up to any good, but Christ has come that you might have life. Quantity? And abundantly, quality. That's your two options. This is not Golden Corral. This is not a buffet. This is not even the fountain drink section at McDonald's. Christ in life, the thief, and utter destruction. That's your two choices. Jesus loved you so much that if you'll confess Him as Lord and Savior, He'll save you from your sins. And He'll give you life and give you life abundantly. our Father in heaven.